You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. And joining us on Perspectives this afternoon is Dr. Emilio Zamora. Dr. Zamora is a professor of history at the University of Texas at Austin. And we're here to talk about a work called The World War I Diary of José de la Luz Sáenz. It was published in Spanish in 1933, and it's the annotated book of diary entries and letters by Mr. Sáenz and Mr. Zamora. We'll talk a little bit about how he got involved in this project. But first of all, Emilio, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this important book.
A lot of times we hear about World War II, Civil War, but World War I is kind of, you know, it was the Great War, and a lot of people leave it out in left field, don't talk much about it. This book that you translated, The World War I Diary of José de la Luz Sáenz, is apparently the first diary ever written by a Hispanic, a Mexican soldier, correct?
Well, actually, there is at least one other diary written by a Mexican-American. And I know this because I came across an announcement of that publication in 1917. The problem with that publication, it was published in Spanish, is that it disappeared. We have no copies of it. So the diary by Sáenz is the only war diary by a Mexican-American that was ever published, I think, in any war.
And he was a doughboy in World War I, and he... Why did they call them doughboys?
You know, I'm not entirely sure, but it's a term that comes from Europe that was used to refer to the soldiers. The American soldiers were also called doughboys, but that term doesn't originate here as far as I know.
Now, this diary came to be, I guess, he was born in 1888, Mr. Sáenz was.
Yeah.
And from there, the history just evolves, and then he becomes a teacher. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, how did you come across this diary, find out about it, and then decide to translate it?
Well, I had already discussing José de la Luz Sáenz in my lectures on Mexican-American history. And at one point when I spoke about him as a co-founder of the League of United Latin American Citizens, LULAC, and as one of its major leaders, a young woman came up to me after class and said, "Have you seen his diary?" I had heard that he had published a diary, but I'd never seen it. And so she brought me a copy, and I then integrated the contents of the diary into my classes, but did not come to consider translating and editing the book until much later. I had not decided to do that. I thought somebody else might want to do it. And since no one did, I took on the task.
Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Sáenz's beginning and how difficult it was for him. I spoke with Dr. Bill Kerrigan not too long ago, and his book is The Forgotten Dead, The Lynchings of Mob Violence Against Mexicans in the State of Texas. And he talked about the fact that there were a lot of Anglo-Americans who didn't realize they were illegal immigrants too, because living in what was then part of Mexico, Texas, they had to become Mexican citizens. And so them, along with the Mexicans, were Mexican citizens. Yet there was a lot of prejudice against the Mexicans. And as Dr. Kerrigan writes in his book, a lot of them were lynched because of, in some cases, jealousy, because they were better farmers, better miners.
Yeah, there was a great deal of violence directed against the Mexican-American population, including the Mexican nationals. There was also a great deal of discrimination in public places and in the schools and in job sites. One of the reasons why José de la Luz Sáenz decides to join in 1917, he notes this throughout his diary. He says, "I am joining and we should join so that we can demonstrate to the general public that we have our dignity. And we want to be able to make the sacrifice on the battlefields so that when we come back and future generations can make claims for equal rights on the basis of our contributions in the military, including the sacrifice in the battlefields." Now, José La Luz Sáenz understands that, and he says it, that Mexican Americans have to demonstrate loyalty because their loyalty is being questioned. They're not seen, regardless of their citizenship or nativity, as integral members of American society. They're only seen, for the most part, as exploitable workers, but not as integral members of society with the same rights as everybody else. So for him, then, it was necessary then to demonstrate loyalty and make the sacrifice in order to then claim equal rights, so that he doesn't only record the experiences of American soldiers in France, including Mexican origin soldiers. He also has a running account throughout the diary in which he makes this argument: we need to make the ultimate sacrifice on the battlefields so we can demonstrate loyalty once and for all, and then negotiate equal rights for ourselves now and in the future.
And he didn't have to go because of his situation with his family. And at 18, you write that he had an exemplary academic record.
Well, he had attended the public schools in Alice, Texas. Most official public schools in South Texas, where Mexicans predominated, would allow some Mexicans to enter. Where Mexicans predominated, outside South Texas, there was a great deal of segregation. What he did is that he attended the official school and graduated with honors, well, graduated with very good grades, but he also attended a separate Mexican school directed by a journalist by the name of Velasquez. And so right after that, he started teaching in separate schools for Mexican children and sometimes for adults in the evening. Subsequent to that, those early years, he attended teacher training workshops in San Antonio, and then later attended Sol Ross University in Alpine, Texas, and received a BA.
We'll talk a little bit about his dedication and his service in the military and in France. And as you mentioned, he was dedicated to the United States of America, and he wanted to show that he was a patriot. He was an American, and he encouraged other Mexican-Americans to do the same. But he also developed a fondness for Benito Juarez.
Yeah, he was especially attracted to the historical figure of Benito Juarez, for a number of reasons, in part, partly is Benito Juarez's politics as a reformer, but also because Benito Juarez was a full-blooded indigenous person, and José La Luz Sáenz privately identified in his letters, for example, to loved ones, he identified himself as an indigenous person. This was based on a family story handed down over generations that took him back to the time of the conquest in the 1500s. He claimed that the Native American people, after the Spanish conquest, scattered, and over generations his family traveled across Mexico and into the border region. He was later able to confirm that family story in conversations with a professional historian in northern Mexico. And so that when he promoted the memory of Benito Juarez and organized public programs and spoke about Benito Juarez at celebrations, he would always do it because of his connection as an indigenous person. Every now and then he would publicly claim on personal terms his indigenous connection to Mexico's history, but he did this for the most part on a private level. Publicly called himself a Mexican-American and a Latin-American.
We are visiting with Dr. Emilio Zamora. Dr. Zamora is a history professor at the University of Texas at Austin, and we are discussing the book, The World War I Diary of José de la Luz Sáenz. And this is something that Dr. Zamora has translated. And so, Dr. Zamora, let's talk a little bit about the diary now. It's a big book. It's 298 pages. In Spanish, titled Los Mexicoamericanos en la Gran Guerra y su contingente en pro de la democracia a la humanidad y la justicia. Now, as you mentioned, he talks about his details, his thoughts, observations, interactions with fellow soldiers. And I believe he served in the 360th Infantry Regiment of the 90th Division of the U.S. Army. Is that correct?
Yes.
Something like that? Okay. And he served for 16 months, beginning in 1918, and then he went over to France. Well, first he trained in Texas, correct?
Yes.
And then they took a long train ride and went back east and then on a ship to France. And so let's start a little bit about what can the reader expect about reading Mr. Sines's diary when he's in France?
Well, first of all, he wrote it in Spanish, and I translated and edited the book. The Spanish version is 298 pages. The translated version with a bigger font size is over 500 pages. It's well-priced, and it's readily available to anyone who may want to obtain it. But he writes something down on pieces of paper, anything he can get his hands on. He writes on the back of postcards, in letters that he sends to the loved ones, and in little brochures that he finds here and there. He writes something down every day for 16 months, and he only misses 4 days. And this is right through the fighting, the trench warfare, particularly in two major offensives that involved the American troops. And he gives firsthand accounts of the fighting, of the deaths, of the fear, of the hope, of conversations between soldiers, of his own teaching experiences in his English language class that he had for the Mexican-American soldiers. So he works in headquarters and has this vantage point from which he can talk about the general war, about the war in general terms, but he also gives you these close-up looks or treatments of the day-to-day experiences of the soldier. And in between those records that he creates, he talks also, as I said before, about his interpretation of the war. That is, the war has given Mexican Americans a historic opportunity, not necessarily to demonstrate loyalty to the flag, but just loyalty in general for the purpose of negotiating improved conditions for Mexican origin people in the future.
Now, when he is in France and when he's down in the trenches and the foxholes, and these men just went through some incredible things, but despite all that, he is inspiration for the other Mexican-American soldiers, and because he can speak Spanish so well and English and French, the other soldiers look up to him as well to help them translate letters and to write letters to home.
Yeah, they admire him. They admire him more than anything, what is really attractive about him for many of the soldiers is that he's a very independent, self-sufficient man. He carries himself with great pride, according to this diary, and he does not allow for anyone to use abusive language on him. And there's a lot of that in the military. Officers, for example, are very abusive of lower-ranking soldiers. He does not take any of that criticism well. And he stands up to officers. He stands up to non-commissioned officers. And he is critical of the war. He is critical of discrimination in the war front. Aside from that, you know, he also is learned. He knows the English language, the Spanish language, and he learns French and a little bit of German over there. And he's also well-positioned in headquarters, like I said before. He brings information to the soldiers. It gives them a better sense of what they're doing. I mean, they're lowly soldiers, and they only know what they experience. But he comes and gives them this broad sense of what they're doing. And then lastly, you know, because of his ability to write in English and Spanish, he writes letters to their loved ones, because many of these soldiers are not as literate as he is, nor as proficient in the English language and Spanish language as he is. So he writes letters for many of them, and they really appreciate that. So they admire him as a self-respecting Mexican who is literate, who is also very informed, and who is very, very generous with his time with the fellow soldiers, especially when writing letters.
We are visiting with Dr. Emilio Zamora. Dr. Zamora is a professor of history at the University of Texas at Austin, and we're discussing the book, The World War I Diary of José de la Luz Sáenz. And this is a diary that Dr. Zamora has translated, because it was originally in Spanish, but it's a fascinating diary because it takes you behind the trenches. It takes you into what these soldiers experienced, what Private Sáenz experienced. And as I say private, Dr. Zamora, and you mentioned about how he was an inspiration and people looked up to him, how he stood up to the NCOs. But at the same time, this man was so talented, and yet he reveals a keen sense of self-worth as he notes his growing irritation with superiors who failed to acknowledge his skills and dedication by promoting him to a rank. He remains a private throughout the 16 months that he's there.
Yes, despite the fact that he applied for officer training school. They rejected his application twice, and he was very vocal about that. And he used that experience to illustrate that the military overall were just servants of the elite, the economic elite in the country. In other words, the war in the end, he believed, was fought not for the average person, but for the economic elite that controlled politics at home. So he was so self-respecting, he would not allow anybody to say anything in a disrespectful way to him. So there were numerous occasions where people, fellow Anglo workers in headquarters, for example, resented him because of his ability. And he, of course, was vocal there, too. He was not quiet. He stood up for his rights. I like to think about him as much like Paredes, Américo Paredes, describes Gregorio Cortés
yes.
in his book, when he says that Gregorio Cortés defended himself with his gun in his hand. José de la Luz Sáenz is that kind of cultural character who stood up for his rights, but in this case, with a pen in his hand.
As we mentioned, the diary covers a little bit of everything, and he talks about the day-to-day experiences, what a soldier goes through, the bloody battles, forced marches, acts of heroism, terrifying deaths, and hand-to-hand combat, scouting missions. He takes you through the war, and he explains everything. For the reader out there who is listening to us and saying, wow, I need to get this book, how would you describe to them as far as what they're going to read? Because some may have envisioned in their minds that they're going to read a diary. Some people think, well, it's by a professor, so it's an academic book. It's going to be hard to read. What would you tell them, Dr. Zamora?
I think that it's very important that we allow history to speak to us, whether it is just general American history or women's history or Mexican-American history. I think we owe it to many people who have come before us, who have made an effort to communicate over time with us. He was writing for us. He was writing for future generations. He makes it very clear. Anybody who makes that effort involving such a sacrifice deserves to be heard. And I when I translated the book, I tried to be fair to his word. I didn't embellish things. I tried to speak as I thought he was speaking. And though his language is a little formal here and there, it is really, before anything else, a very, very personal account as a soldier in the battlefields, in training. And also, he's also speaking as a very broadly socially conscious individual from the Mexican origin community who is expressing concern for the Mexican American community and participates in the war partly to express this concern and the sense of urgency that we need to look at the historical contributions of Mexican Americans so that we can then make the claims for for equal rights in our times. One shouldn't have to go and sacrifice on the battlefields to argue for equal rights. Equal rights ought to come as they do for many people, naturally, based on our citizenship, based on moral grounds. But in our case, in the case of Mexican-American history, there's been times when people have to make an extra effort to demonstrate loyalty in order to be treated equally. So this is a very, very special person who is able to make use of this great opportunity to express his views about equality on the basis of this extraordinary sacrifice by Mexican origin people during the First World War. And this is only talking about the war front. Mexicans are making major contributions in the home front as well. But I think people should think about building libraries in their homes, regardless of who you are, regardless of your interest in this or that history. You should have, for the sake of future generations, books in your library, in your home, so that the youngsters can see that kind of behavior is the model that they should be pursuing, reading and learning about the past and appreciating who they are on the basis of who has come before them and what they have done and said.
I was thinking about when we were talking about the discrimination and the prejudice, and we're all prejudiced at some point. We say we're not, but we are. We'll tell a joke. We say something. And in this diary, you mentioned that he also had prejudice against certain people.
Yeah. He spoke in a very strong, very strong terms against German people in Central Texas, who were known for being very anti-Mexican during that time period. He spoke about that a whole lot. And he also wrote some disparaging things about African soldiers from African nations that he saw in France. But, you know, this question of prejudice, I must say this, that he really made, I mean, if you look at the book, if you read it closely, there's a major difference between the discrimination that denies him the opportunity to be an officer and the prejudice that he expresses in writing, but doesn't necessarily have the means to do any, to translate that prejudice into discrimination that denies people any rights. The Mexicans are, for the most part, poor. Mexicans, yes, are as prejudiced as anybody else, but they don't have the power to use that prejudice to deny people their rights and anything having to do with the resources that are available to them.
If anything, Dr. Somoza, this is something that we hear time after time, is that Mexican people, their biggest enemy, themselves, because of their prejudice against each other, and when somebody tries to get ahead, they try and pull them back down. Is that true?
Well, you know, there's a famous joke that says that we're all crabs in a bucket.
Oh, yes.
Whenever somebody tries to pull himself out, somebody pulls him down. I like to think that we're frogs in a bucket of milk. We're churning and churning the milk until the foam helps us rise up and above it and across the lid of the bucket. You know, I mean, you know, absolutely there's instances when prejudice, I mean, among each other and jealousy may have kept some people from advancing, but I think there's numerous instances too of cooperation among Mexicans. I mean, you can see it in the war front. These soldiers are really brothers. They are brothers in the field, and they don't necessarily, at least the Mexicans, don't make distinctions based on ethnic background, and they don't make distinctions based on ethnicity. They see themselves as Mexicans regardless of whether they were born here are in Mexico, so that for every instance that you find a Mexican crab, I think you'll find a Mexican frog. I think there's as much cooperation as anything else. In fact, I would argue there's even more cooperation, otherwise we would not have survived many of the difficulties we as a people have faced for centuries in this land.
And now that it's been translated and is readily available, is it mostly just an academic book, or is it available out there for the general public to read?
This is how I'm going to answer that question.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons why I like this book. But one of the reasons that I like it is because I teach at the university level. I teach young people, and among them, we have an increasing number of veterans. And I think a lot of veterans, soldiers, when they enter the military, they're prepared with military training. When they leave, when they come out, they're not necessarily trained to reinsert themselves in American society. Consequently, many of our mothers and sisters and others are left with a job of helping us make the transition back into civilian life. And oftentimes, these veterans have problems. I want to use the diary to reach those Mexican-American and other veterans in my class and say, look, this is how a Mexican-American veteran during the First World War was able to deal with all those horrible experiences and the trauma that they left behind. That is, he witnessed death. He witnessed the defilement of the body. He witnessed all kinds of horrible things. But he was able, one way in which he was able to deal with all of that and come back somewhat sane is by seeing his participation in the war as something bigger than himself. He took himself out of himself and thought socially about the historical significance of soldiers participating in the war. They could now argue for equal rights. So what I want to do is just basically tell the veterans in my class, look, here's a person like you. He went through things that you most probably went through. And somehow he's able to resolve these inner problems, these demons that gnaw on your soul. Let's look at it. Let's find out how it is that he's able to do it. And let's see what benefit you can draw from that. And in the process, the non-veterans can appreciate our soldiers are going through, and I think they would benefit from that too. So that's one of the reasons why I like the diary. It gives me an opportunity to help returning veterans in their therapy.
Well, Dr. Somoana, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us out of your busy schedule. I know as a college professor, you're very busy. We've been visiting with Dr. Emilio Zamora. He is a professor of history at the University of Texas at Austin. And the book is The World War I Diary of José de la Luz Sáenz. If you want to find out more about the book, you can go to www.tamupress.com. That's www.tamupress.com. Dr. Somoana, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, Mr. Sáenz, I thank you as well. I think you and the people in your radio program are doing an important service by providing your audience valuable information about the history and the experiences and ideas and feelings that people had in that history. It's absolutely necessary that we reach back. They were reaching forward. We need to reach back, and you've played a very important role in this, and I thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you, sir. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sáenz.